I was there from
what?
Born, and I'll die in here.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Defender 7 Sunday Night Survival, which we call Survival Sunday, with your host, Lieutenant General Christopher Weathers, and I'm your co-host and general of the Defenders, Bobby Ormsby. If you haven't done so already, check out our Facebook national page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you hit that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defender 7. If you get in and feel it's not for you or you can't participate, you may leave. No hard feelings. We're more than just a group. We consider ourselves one big extended family, and we treat each other as such. We have a website. If you type all lowercase letters, www.defenders.com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. All 100% of all proceeds we receive from our sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. We're not like other groups where they keep 90% and only distribute 10%. All 100% goes to our communities. So by all means, purchase something from our store or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and your communities in a time of need. While you're at it, swing over to our YouTube channel. Check out our page there. Do us a favor and hit that subscribe button. We're also on MeWe. Click on organizations, scroll down, Defenders 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now, starting next Sunday from 12 p.m. till 2 p.m. Eastern Time, we will be having our first religious service held by our new chaplain of Illinois, Robert Weathers. I hope everybody can turn out, support the show, and enjoy the show. And just so everybody knows, we are a non-denominational, not just Christian, but non-denominational Humanitarian American Patriot Group, LLC. Now, for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk, we enjoy it when you call in. If you're afraid to call in, scroll down on our page and join us live inside our chat room. During each episode that we do here on Blog Talk, That number to call if you'd like to participate live through talking, area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. Now, while we wait until your host, our Lieutenant General, gets on, hopefully we get a lot of call in. So, okay, we do have one caller. Good evening.
Hey, Bobby. You still didn't
hey,
get any
Maria.
People calling?
No, I'm waiting on Christopher, too, because he just got clocked out of work.
Yeah, we'll have him for all the drive home. That'll be nice. We don't get to hear from him too often. He always has some good stuff to share.
Yeah, he was wanting to do this show.
Is the minister, the pastor that we're going to be having on Sunday, is he related to Christopher?
Yes, it's his older brother.
Oh, my goodness. The name, that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am, too. He's a good guy. I met him in person.
Yeah, but yeah, the I showed you the door. I may wind up having to put another coat on it, or you know, spot check it because it wasn't. I mean, I'm not a professional, so it might need some extra work. But overall, I think it came out pretty good. So
yeah,
I'm pretty
nice.
Proud of myself. I still got to do the framework and the inside, but. You know, I got part of it done. It's always nice when you accomplish something.
Yes. And like I said, it is nice.
Yeah. But at any rate, yeah, so I've been working. I got some apples that I'm cutting up tonight in order to dehydrate because I got lots of veggies and meat dried, plus, you know, what the... You know, the professional stuff I bought, but I don't really have any fruit, and fruit's important, too. So
sure.
I figured I'd do some apples. I do have some bananas, and I do have some pineapples dehydrated.
Nice.
But, I have, like, the lemon and grapefruit peels so for making quinine. But I really didn't focus on a lot of fruit because, you know, being diabetic, I really need to watch how much fruit I eat because even though it's a healthy sugar, it's still a sugar. So it wasn't at the top of my list, but you do need to have fruit. They do have certain essential vitamins and stuff that we need.
Right. I'd like to welcome our Lieutenant General, Christopher Weathers, your host.
Hey.
Good evening, everybody. Sorry I'm late. Just got off work. So, yeah.
No biggie.
Better late than never.
Well, I know I was supposed to host the show, but, you know, nobody showed up to relieve me at work, so, you know, another...
Do you have that issue with people not wanting to work?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't had a day off in 5 days, and I won't get another day off for another 6. So, yeah.
Everybody's two-handed. And they're mechanicalizing every, I mean, they're, you know, their, I forget what state it is, I think Mississippi, black Americans are protesting, black American farmers, farm workers, you know, are protesting because they were fired and replaced with illegal migrants who are cheaper and, no offense, they work harder. I mean, it's the truth. Whether or not I like what they're doing or not is beside the point. They're cheaper and they do work harder. Americans, no matter what color their skin, for the most part, young ones, don't work very hard.
The thing is, we're union at my metal company, and we make damn good wages. We are very highly competitive in the steel industry for our wages. So, I mean, the starting pay, just to start, is $20.75. And that's with benefits and 401K, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, but I'm sure they want more. And, young people today, they want more for less. That's what it is.
You've got to work for to make more money. And I mean, once you learn trades in the field, the more money you make. The bad part
is
the more money you make, the more money they take.
You know that. I know that. But young people today, they don't want to hear it.
Well, I think it's time to get on with the show now. Enough about work. I'm done. For the night. Well, tonight, I know we have a whole lot of new listeners. Tonight, we're going to discuss what if shit hits the fan and what do you keep in your vehicle? Not only for security reasons, but if shit hits the fan and you're away from your house, what are you going to do? I would love to have some callers call in. You don't have to give your name. And participate in this discussion. That would be awesome. Instead of the same people that we always have on the show.
What do you mean, old?
See, there's a prime example right there.
What, old?
Yeah, old.
Now, speak for yourself. You're not old.
Yeah.
Hey, I can actually say that about him because that's my brother.
That makes it even less that you can say that.
Right. Well,
get him, Robert.
That's right.
Really, Bobby?
I have a baby brother, and his name is Robert.
Well,
yeah.
If it wasn't for friends like Bobby, who needs enemies, right? Anyway,
he's just picking the right side.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so can anybody name a few things, what they keep in their vehicle for security, for safety, if shit hits the fan? Anybody name some stuff?
Other than bodies?
Say what?
Is it only
other than bodies?
Right.
I actually just emptied my car completely because I'm trying to clean it out to sell it. But I don't leave weapons in my car, but I do always have my gun and a knife, and I have a walking stick.
That's
so for persons.
You do here's the thing, Maria. You actually do need to keep a weapon in your car at all times. When you're in the car. Don't keep it
when I'm in the car,
car when you're not in it. Because if you're away from home, just like the riots happened here in St. Louis, the riots that happened out in L.A., they were pulling drivers out and killing them. The people beating them up. There was a few people that died because of it. So, yeah, it's always good to keep a weapon in your vehicle.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, when I'm in the vehicle, there's a weapon in the vehicle. I mean, I guess I do leave my walking stick in there, but I'm not leaving my gun or my knife in there. I don't want somebody to, you know what I mean, to break in and steal them.
That's why I said when you're in the vehicle, yes, keep the weapon closed and easy access. Another thing that I keep in my truck is a very good first aid kit. Blood clotting agents, gauze wraps, tourniquets, that sort of thing. And water. I always keep water purification and a bottle of water in my truck also.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And food stuff, like protein bars or something.
Also in my pack, I keep what us in the military used to call wood bars, grain bars.
Mm.
But they taste like crap. But high in protein and minerals. I keep a tent, a little backpack tent, a tarp, also fire starting, flint and steel, magnesium stick, ferro rod, all that's good to have. I also keep fishing line, weights, and hook in my pack. Because you never know if you're stuck where you cannot get home immediately, you're going to need a way of getting something to eat. Fish is very high in protein. Also, cordage, 550 paracord, very good thing to have in all of your packs, including your bug-out bags. You can run snare traps with it. You can actually use it to build shelters. We are getting into winter months, so fire, shelter, water, three most important things. Undergarments, which will keep you warm and dry. Can anybody name one thing that you don't want to do in the cold months when you're away from your vehicle? Anyone?
Well, I'm not sure I understood the question. Something you don't want to do in the winter when you're away from your vehicle?
Yes. If you're away from your house, if you're away from your vehicle, number one, you don't want to sweat.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's when hypothermia comes in.
Right.
You never want to sweat in cold temperatures because late at night, once the sun drops, the temperatures drop, hypothermia sets in.
Right.
Stay hydrated, but it's always good to like warm water. You never want to drink or eat snow That'll dehydrate you and drop your core temperature down for hypothermia.
Yeah, I remember when we were kids, we always, we'd always want to eat the snow, you know how kids are. And it would always make us colder, and then, you know, we'd go in, and, you know, my mom would always get on our case. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. But we got
and
blackberry brandy.
Well, blackberry brandy? Oh, yeah. That'll warm you up. I actually have a bottle of that when I deer hunt. That warms up.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. When we would come in from playing outside, you're cold, and because kids, they will. You eat snow and you do this, that, and the other thing, and you're running around and you're sweating. And my mom would give us blackberry brandy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Been there, done that many times. Another thing, if you don't want to keep a tent, like a little two-man backpack, it's always nice to have a tarp.
Right.
A little small tarp. That'll help with shelter building, plus it can also be a water catchment.
Right. Yeah, I got the paracord and the space blanket thingies for making a tent or whatever.
Well, yes. That, you know, if you go look at, I'm going to say 99% of your first aid kits, they do have the space blankets in there.
Yep. They're kind of cool. I've been practicing doing stuff.
Awesome. Well, the only way to know the stuff that we've been teaching is by practicing. Practice different scenarios too. Plan your escape routes. If you have to bug out, know what you're going to take, but don't carry too much because
right. You
never know. Say like an EMP happens, well, your vehicles now are disabled. All electronics are done. Fry your battery, it'll fry the computer in your vehicles, unless you got the older style that have points. So think of that. Practice with your families and your kids also, because you never know, they can help out in different situations, believe me. Hold on, sorry, everybody's couple people are walking and two state troopers are right behind them for some reason. I don't know. So everybody was slowing down. One thing that I can't stress enough, I know it's hard to do, but in different scenarios when shit hits the fan, do not trust anyone. Never trust anyone. A lot of people are going to take what you have for them so they can use it. Let's see.
Yeah, I have to admit they're not helping people. At least the family's one thing, but not helping others. That's going to be the most difficult for me, but, you know, I understand I have to ignore people. I can't help everybody. And that's what I'm trying to get through my head, is that, you know, I can't help everybody because I have to keep myself, I have to think of myself and my family.
Exactly. As far as strangers go, if you do not have anything of value to them, they're going to throw you to the curb or kill you and take what you have. The best thing I could possibly say, especially when you're bugging out or when shit hits the fan and you're away from home, get away from cities and big towns.
Right.
Because once the food, water, and shelter runs out of big towns and cities, they're coming out to the rural areas. I'll tell you that now.
Yeah, think zombie apocalypse. You want to get as far away from populated areas.
Exactly. One thing I do keep in my truck is a very small fishing rod, a rod and reel. That goes along with the line, hooks, sinkers, that sort of thing. Bait, you can find anywhere. So, even in the winter months.
Yeah. I love fishing.
Robbie, what do you think? Can you name anything?
Well, myself.
Oh, that's like Bobby, too. Oh, my gosh. That means he's Bobby. General Bobby.
I like to keep it simple.
All right, smartass.
Well, in my opinion, the best time to travel during a shit hits the fan situation is at night. The later, the better.
Yes, very true. Unless absolute necessary, you have to travel during the day.
Well, the best thing to have for survival or anything like that is to have a knife.
Yep.
You know, and then you can have them knives that has the fishing line and the saws and all that stuff inside the handle. That's your best survival item, because all the rest of it, if you do make it out of the city, you're going to have all the stuff you need out in nature.
Right. Right.
I mean, you can even make cordage out with some of the plants, trees, whatever, you know.
Oh, that's
if it's in the middle of the winter, make sure you if you're not familiar with the area, just dig in the ground, because once you dig in the ground, earth is the best insulation.
So is snow.
Yeah, so is snow.
Yeah,
you know, if you know
yeah,
how to make an igloo or whatever.
I know how to make an igloo. I grew up on Long Island back when they still had snow. And when we were kids, and we would make igloos.
With what Robbie said, too, by the way, I'm going to throw this out there. We do have survival knives that if we get 10 people, it will have the Defender 7 logo on them. Comes with matches, fishing line, hooks. Very good knife. Very good knife.
Is that the same one I have?
Yep, same one we all have.
Okay, I never noticed it. I never opened it. I mean, I know it has the stuff in it, but I never really opened it.
I've
used it a couple of times.
And no, I never cut myself with it.
Warner, you're not allowed to have sharp objects.
Yes. Warner,
that's in it.
That's what you said when you first got it, that you hadn't yet cut yourself with it. We're all waiting.
It also has a compass, which is another item good to have.
Yes. I have a lot of those.
But Lorna is not allowed to have sharp objects at all. She will hurt herself.
I haven't hurt myself in a while. I'm about due.
The first day you got the knife, you cut yourself.
Yeah, so,
hey, don't take this Lorna.
Hey, Lorna, Stephanie wants to know where her Ralph's at.
He's napping on the couch.
Wow. Oh, wow. He's napping. She wants him back.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
I hear Stephanie back there. Ralph.
Ralph found a girlfriend today.
Oh, he
Ralph
did.
Ralph found a girlfriend.
Yeah. Mary's sister brought her three dogs over, and one of them's a female about his size.
Wow.
And there was puppy love.
Another thing that I want to bring up, too, is water life straws, water purification tablets.
Yep.
Maybe a small metal cup.
Yep.
For boiling water. So, just another FYI. I also do have flares in my truck with me also. I don't recommend using them in survival situations because they are pretty bright and they can attract your enemies. So another little tidbit. One thing that I have said many, many times, learn your surroundings. Plants. What is edible in your area? I know every country around the world has different zones. You got high desert, high plains, forests. You got different types of trees. You have to know what is in your area. I would recommend, and the whole family can enjoy and learn at the same time.
We do that in our family because, I mean, not for survival purposes. I'm the only one that's interested in that. But we do a lot of nature walk stuff, and we make learning fun. So when the kids were younger, and even now, we would do scavenger hunts, and they'd have to identify stuff. And, it's really very helpful, and it's amazing. And the kids get a kick out of it, and they're learning things. And especially when it comes to things like, Sister and I learned, locally the different mushrooms that we have locally that we can eat, and including the ones in our own yard. So it's really, it is. It's very helpful. And the dandelions. This year when they were in season, I mean, they're weeds, but when they were in season, I picked a shit ton of dandelion leaves out of my yard, cleaned them and dehydrated them because they're not just good as a vegetable, but they're also have nutrients and stuff for like if you're sick and whatnot, they have certain medicinal purposes. So,
Well, did you know that for an upset stomach, your like charcoal and stuff like that from fires, if you eat a little bit, that'll cure an upset stomach.
See, now I heard that if you eat poison or something and you need a kid to throw up, you can take charcoal and mix it with milk or something and make them drink it, and it'll make it make them throw up.
Well, I'm not sure on that one, but I mean, you could always stick your finger down your throat too to make yourself throw up.
Yeah, that's true too.
In a survival situation, if you have an upset stomach, actually cold will help you. Feel a little bit better in your stomach. So will
pine needles.
Yeah.
I drink pine needle tea. Now my question is this.
And
so
plankton, I think it's called.
Yeah. It's winter time now. So the pine needles are all falling off the tree onto the ground. And they're in my own yard. Are they still good? Because they tell me I can pick them fresh and dry them out. I'm assuming if they dry naturally, they're safe too. I haven't been able to find the answer online. I've been looking.
What is that now? I totally missed that.
Okay, pine needle tea. I drink pine needle tea. It's
yep.
One of the prophylactic.
Green.
Huh?
When they're green. When they're dried out,
yeah, well, no,
they're not.
They say you can pick them while they're green and dry them out and use them. They're still good.
Yeah.
You just need more of them. So my question is this. The tree in my backyard, you know, it's winter time, it's fall, so they're turning brown on their own. They're drying out. So does that mean that I can use those too, or they're no good?
No, they're no good. They're great fire starting material.
If I remember right, you can also take the bark and chew it.
Yes, you can.
I don't need to chew the bark. I was thinking about pine needle tea for my, because that's one of the prophylactic, whatever, I think that's the word I use for COVID. So I take that and boron and quinine and a couple of other things. And guess I haven't gotten sick at all since I started doing all this shit. My family's been getting sick left and right, but then they got vaccinated.
Well, just so you know that I did make a video on how to make pine needle tea.
Oh, can you upload it?
Yes, it's on the Defenders page.
Oh, no, I meant to YouTube. I'm not on Facebook.
I think Kim downloaded it to our YouTube page. I'm not sure.
I'll take a look. Unfortunately, I can't get notifications when she uploads stuff, and I'm not sure why. I just boil water, and I put the pine needles in my metal coffee cup. It's a big cup, and I pour the hot water in, and I close it, and I let it sit for like 24 hours and let it seep really, really good. And then I add about a quarter to a third of a cup to my regular tea because I really don't like the taste. Go ahead.
You know, you don't have to wait 24 hours. You can put it straight in the water and boil the water. It's just the same thing.
Oh, so you boil the water with the pine needles in it.
Yeah.
That's why, because the recipe I got called for steeping, and they say steep 3 to 4 hours, but it has no taste or anything after 3 or 4 hours, so I let it sit overnight, and then I can taste it, and I just don't like it. So I boil it with the, all right, see, that's different. Okay, I'll have to try that.
Yes.
Yeah, but I make it a big batch. Yeah.
Plenty of vitamins.
And you got to also be careful which conifers you use, too, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I use a white pine.
There is some poisonous pines out there that is bad for you.
Yeah.
And
that
can cause death.
Anything, the best way to do is get books on, like, Indian ways. Because Indians, the Indians, the indigenous people, they had the best knowledge of all nature and everything. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you an idea of what plants to eat, how they used them for medicine, you know, different concoctions, like salves and stuff like that.
I shared a link a few months ago in the Telegram room, and it had links to like about 1,000 different books from like the military, from the American Indians, the Native American, whatever, like the different tribes, the different, you know, Native tribes, because they're not all the same. They're from different areas of the countries, and they did different things. So, and also, too, different branches of the military, y'all do different things. So, and the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the 4-H. I mean, no, I kid you not. I also found some books about, like, from the pioneers and what they did. And then some books from during the Depression era, the different foods and the different things that they did. So, and I downloaded all of them to one device, which is in my box that, EMP protection box, my Faraday box. So I have it in there because they're already downloaded to the device. So I may not be able to access the internet, but all of them are on the device, and I can access them there in one spot.
How many of you have heard of Foxfire books?
No, never. Foxfire? I don't think so.
Yeah, they're called Foxfire. What it was back in the early 70s, there was a university with kids that went out to do research on Appalachian waves. And it went over so well that they created a whole series of Foxfire books, and they're about an inch thick, the original ones. But what it has in it is every single way that Appalachia people and pioneer ways, they basically preserved the old ways of doing things.
Right.
Wow.
And I got
very interesting.
Yeah, I got like 12. I think there's like 13, maybe 17 books. I'm not sure now. But I got like 10 or 11 of them.
Well, here was my thinking. I did get a couple of hardback books. I also have one on medicinal stuff. But at the end of the day, I wanted something that was comp that I could get the most in the least amount of space. So
right.
I actually prefer real books, but when you think about how much space are you going to have and weight and everything, and you want to get the most bang for your buck, so to speak, I figured this was the most logical, the most, you know what I mean, useful. So that's why I did a download. But I did also get a few hard copies because I didn't think my Faraday box is going to work.
Well, I
one
tell you what, the Foxfire books,
stress.
they're like encyclopedias. They are just chock full from page to the end of the beginning of the book to the end of the book. They're chock full of nothing but survival ways of the pioneers.
Cool.
Well, so I grew up with Encyclopedia Britannica, so I like books and
Well, Chris can testify to you what I got. I've been doing this stuff for many, many years. I just started learning more about mushrooms, too, and the different kinds of mushrooms you can use. And it was kind of funny because I see mushrooms like around the yard or in somebody else's yard around a tree or something. I take a picture of it. I look it up on the internet. I start doing research on that particular mushroom, if it's good or bad. And it was kind of funny because I got a neighbor like two or three doors down, and they got reishi. It's called reishi mushrooms. The Chinese have been using these for thousands of years, and they make a tea out of it. And there is so many medicinal purposes, good purposes for these mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the majority of mushrooms are useful. Yes, there are some poisonous ones, but that doesn't mean they're not useful.
Right. Yeah, if you got an enemy, you definitely can use some the bad ones.
What was that movie, that Civil War movie that, make my day, Clint Eastwood made? I forget what it was called. He
he's
a Union soldier, I think, and he winds up at that all-girls school. And
They cut off his leg.
Yeah. You remember that movie? Oh, my God.
I can't remember the name of it, though. Matter of fact, I'm
going to look
that one up.
One thing that I do want to stress, the weight of your packs that you keep. If you have to carry packs, how much weight do you think you should carry?
Depends on your body size.
Exactly. What is the weight ratio?
See, now
isn't it like a third of your weight to the pack?
Yes. It's a third of the weight to the pack.
Well, I'm not carrying 100 pounds. I have one pack, my Cadillac, which is about 25 to 30 pounds. But then I have another, pack, bare minimum type of thing that's about 15 pounds, depending on the situation, that has, like, the core element, of what I need. So, because I don't know what the situation I'm going to be in. So I figured I was better off being prepared for anything.
Well, me personally, I have a framed pack that holds 80 pounds, and I can carry it a long way.
Yeah. You're strong.
So,
you're stronger than I am.
We're lying.
Oh, is he lying, Robert?
He's lying.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. You've seen it when we went to Colorado.
Yeah, but I didn't see you carrying it for a long distance.
I didn't have to that time.
Yeah, see, that's another thing, Chris, is that, I did the two packs because I had to take into consideration how long was I going to have to carry it for, how fast was I going to have to move. So that's why I did, a Cadillac and a hoopsie, so to speak. So that, I didn't have to waste time changing, anything up in case the circumstances were not ideal or type of thing. Because I listen to what you say. So, the different things that, we should have, things that we absolutely have, things that, if you can get them, you should. But, I'll remember the core things that you said we absolutely should have in our pack. And that's what I have. And then I had another pack that I added, some of the other stuff that you said and Kimmy has recommended and, the medical stuff. Took it from there because I'm always better to be safe than, to be prepared. And my mom taught us, you have plan A, plan B, and then for plan A and plan B, you have another plan one and two. So, I listen.
Well, and it also depends on how skillful you are as far as survival, too, what is
right.
absolutely necessary.
That is very true, and I've always said you have to practice everything, like shelter building, food gathering. You have to practice these skills. That way it is drilled in your brain. Because in a life or death situation, man, split decisions mean everything to your safety.
Yeah.
That and staying calm, too.
Yeah, that's
more important than anything.
Yeah, that's one thing I am very good at.
Yeah, me too. There's a couple times we've had emergencies at our school, and, you know, everybody's running around freaking out. It's like, calm down, people.
Yeah.
Well, I just got home, people, and I'm starving. Bobby, you want to continue on?
No, you got to stay with us. You got to starve.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Fat man's got to eat, man.
Hey, dude, this is about survival, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, then that means you can go without eating for at least a week.
Or learn
You're
how to
right.
multitask.
But you know what? I'm not in a survival situation right now, and I'm hungry.
Yeah, but you're teaching other people. You got to lead by example.
Hey, well,
he's got the weather.
Anybody that wants to can join me down in the Shawnee National Forest, and I'll show you. I'll
yeah,
lead you by how to get lost.
You'll show me,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I'll show you
hey,
how to get lost,
hey,
all right.
Hey, Chris. Chris, I'm starting a new job, right? And the guy, he's a hunter. And guess what he's going to go hunt next week?
What?
Bear.
Oh,
oh
man,
yeah.
I've been wanting to do that.
Bear is very
yeah,
good meat.
I said, bear. I said, why? I said, can you eat that? He said, yes. He goes, it tastes like pork.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bear is very good.
Yeah, you can
it's
definitely
real
eat
greasy,
bear.
Though.
Yep.
It
you
is
know
very
how to
greasy
it.
Meat.
But
yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure, I mean, he's been doing this for years, so I'm pretty sure he knows, you know.
Right.
But,
make sure he keeps the tallow. That's good salve you can make out of that.
Yeah, he's pretty
pretty handy.
All
yeah,
right,
he's
y'all.
Pretty...
Have a good night. God bless, and be safe out there around the world.
Oh,
you
learn
brother.
Head on a swivel.
Enjoy
learn
your
how
dinner.
To multi. Learn how to multitask.
Yeah, shut up, Lorna. Shut up, Lorna. Unlike
you,
I worked
Lorna.
All day.
You tell him what? What
hey,
he's really
Lorna,
saying
he knows how to
is
cook.
He went to work all day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we know he doesn't work.
Yeah, Lorna just props up her feet on her desk and sleeps during that type of work.
When I have the opportunity, hell yeah.
And we got pictures, so we do have proof.
Uh-oh.
I was framed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you were. Lies. All lies.
There's a lot you can do with pictures nowadays.
No, because she sent it to us.
Oh, well, Lauren, I can't help you on that one, then. I can't back
yeah,
that up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, y'all.
So
God bless. Have
Walt.
A good night.
Good night, Chris.
Later, brother.
Good night, brother.
All right, I guess it's just us, huh?
It usually is.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm just not the penny
wing. Somebody get the marshmallows out and light a fire.
It's the rival stuff.
Oh.
Oh. You know, I think my greatest skill, I think my greatest asset is I'm extremely adaptable. And I, even if I'm not 100% sure of what I'm supposed to do, because I do, I am calm and everything, I'll figure it out, and it won't take me forever. You know what I mean? And in my opinion, that's an asset. I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of experience other than practice or real life stuff, because I grew up in the country, so you know, a lot of it, you know, I had experience doing.
That helps.
Or just playing. When we were kids, I mean, half the shit, you know, that you know, considered survival stuff, we did for fun. You know, growing stuff, hunting for mushrooms, or, you know, wild stuff to eat, setting fires. I mean, we played cowboys and Indians. So whoever was playing Indians, you had to know how to tie a good knot, so when you tied the person to the tree to set them on fire, you know, they couldn't get loose. And you had to know how to set a fire so that, you know, and you had to know how to make sticks into arrows. I mean, not that we actually shot people, but you get my drift. I mean, we literally, that was what we did for fun.
Yeah, we had bottle rocket fights.
Huh?
We had bottle rocket fights.
Yeah, those too. But my mom, she canned. We did canning and, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I don't have a lot of experience, but I have helped kill a chicken and rabbits and deer and I even helped slaughter a pig. That was not fun.
No, that is not fun. Stinks to high heaven.
Yeah, it was messy, and this is like 50 years ago. So, you know, they didn't have the technology. They had them tied in such a way that they hit them over the head, because it was a small farm. It wasn't a slaughterhouse. It was a farm, and they would hit them in the head in a certain spot with some hammer looking thing. They'd pull this pulley, so his back leg go up in the air, and then they split the throat so that the blood came out. And then they gutted it and did everything else. And then,
you guys didn't shoot him, huh?
No, they didn't shoot him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, they didn't. No, they didn't shoot him. They used that some kind of a hammer thing. I don't know what it was called.
They'd literally smash their brains in.
Right. Whatever. Yeah. I just remember that they would hit him over the head real quick, pull up the legs real quick, split the throat because something about poisoning the blood, and they had to, you know, I do remember that. Rabbits, we had a hutch in our backyard, and yes, we played with them. Yeah, we petted them and all that stuff, and then we ate them. You know, we didn't, you know, I mean, just because we were nice and they were soft and furry and everything, they were still food. I mean, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Friends of mine, when they were doing their pigs, they would get them drunk on vodka. Something to do it. I guess it changes the flavor of the pig.
Really?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah?
Yeah, it does.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
In Japan, they have women that massage the cows because it does something to the meat. That's why their meat's so tender or something like that.
Dang, I'm going to go to Japan.
I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere. Why their meat is why it's so expensive and stuff.
Yeah, it lessens the stress on their muscle and the meat.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, they got that what's it called, something yogi leaf beef or something.
Yeah.
But it's the most expensive beef in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got
women to massage them.
That's what I'm gonna do. No.
Yeah, as long as you're not giving them a happy ending, you're just fine.
Right. I'm a Christian now. Come on.
Okay, and I don't think I said anything indecent. Besides, I'm a Christian too. And God didn't say we can't have fun and enjoy life.
That's true. Within reason.
Yes, within reason. Look, you know, when I was young, when I was in third grade, I wrote an essay, because I was raised Episcopal and I went to a convent. I wrote an essay on why I wanted to be a nun. I still wonder why I didn't. But I know why. But at any rate, my point is that God wants us to be happy, and, you know, as long as we are living the life we're supposed to, if something's funny, it's funny. I mean, it's not harmful, and we don't mean it for real. But at any rate, so survival stuff. Chris said that about the list of things we should have in our car.
Right.
I've got to go. I go through my pack. At least I try to do it once a month or every other month, just to make sure, you know, I check dates and move stuff around and whatnot, just to make sure everything's still good, because you never know.
Oh, absolutely not. No, you can always be there's always an emergency come up when you're out and about, so.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, it just depends on your skill levels too, what you need to bring or whatever. Because I don't really carry a whole lot except like tools and stuff like that. Now I got a saw in my truck. I got an axe. I don't go out of my way to put stuff in my truck because, you know, I live like maybe a quarter of a mile away from where I work. So I don't have to go too far.
Yeah.
And if there's an emergency, I'll carry a backpack with stuff in it, you know, and bring it with me if I go out somewhere.
Well, see, here's the thing. I live in a 14x7 travel trailer, thanks to COVID, in my sister's backyard. There's only so
mm-hmm.
much stuff I can fit in my camper. And
right.
since my sister is, you know, unwilling to wake up, like I said, they're vaccinated. She accepts me. She doesn't condemn me or anything. I mean, she, you know, I don't really have a lot of places to store stuff. My other sister, she lives in the city. I'm not going all the way there. So I store a lot of stuff in my car. Like, you know, I had 20 gallons of water in my car. But, you know, because I'm trying to get another car, right now I have a 6-cylinder. I want an 8-cylinder, and I want 4-wheel drive. Right now I only have 2. So, you know, I want a different type of vehicle. So I took everything out of my car, and I made room in her garage. But I don't really like keeping it there because, you know, what if I'm out and about and something happens? Hopefully, you know, when shit hits the fan, I will be able to stay. You know, I don't have to go anywhere. I don't
right,
want
exactly.
To.
That's what I was going to say next. Yeah. And there's other things you can replace that stuff with, too. Like, you know, even having hard candy to suck on keeps your
right.
mouth watered or whatever, you know, and
yep.
saliva. So.
Oh, I don't want anything to do. Stop arguing. Yeah. Go ahead, Lorna.
Gum.
Yeah, gum.
Oh, yeah, I don't do gum.
Candy.
You know, like peppermint candy. I like lemon drops and like butterscotch
yeah.
and stuff like that, you know.
But,
some of that old-fashioned
yeah.
candy.
But the
yeah,
dentist
and,
says hard candy is worse for your teeth than anything. Hard candy and
what?
Cokes.
Because
yeah.
of the sugar, it stays on there and, you know, it longer than other stuff. In fact, they say chocolate's the best type, safe, you know, safest type of candy to eat than hard candy or taffy or anything like that.
Well, like I said, if the stuff hits the fan, that's going to be long term anyway. So, you know, you're only going to be able to do what you can do no matter what. You're going to have a certain
well,
point where you're going to have to rely on just basically basics, simple skills, common sense, you know. That's the stuff you need to rely on.
Oh, I agree. And here, you know, like I said, I mean, I grew up on Long Island. We had, I mean, back when the weather was still fairly normal. We had hurricane season and we had blizzards and, I mean, snowstorms. And, I mean, so I grew up knowing how to be prepared, you know.
Right.
I'm prepared for anything. At the end of the day, I have skills.
Right.
You know, I have skills that I can barter.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That actually, that's one of the best skills you could have is to learn how to barter, because you can always trade whatever you can make. You know, you can always trade it for something you might need. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I can cook. I can. I can sew. I can literally build stuff. I know how to use a saw, wood, hammer, nails, drill. You know, I know how to do all that shit.
Right on.
I made basic furniture stuff, you know, a table and a couch, you know, like a cot thing. Nothing fancy, just, you know, but it didn't wobble.
Right.
You know, I know how to bake, and I don't need and here's where the skill comes in. I don't need a recipe.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
I don't need that piece of paper telling me what to do. Most of the stuff I have memorized.
Right. That's
you know,
the best.
Before I
yeah.
right. I know the difference in ingredients between bread and cake.
Right.
You know, even though you use the same basic ingredients between, you know, bread, cake, cookies, whatever. It's just what proportion, basically. So,
okay.
But and it, I know how to sew, crochet, knit. You know, I can do all that shit.
Yeah, well,
during my
reenacting and stuff for as long as I have, I've learned skills like that too. Because
yeah,
that's what we teach kids when we have kids on, like every Friday or most Fridays you have a children's day. And they'll come from different schools and you'll teach these kids what it was like in the colonial times. And people
cool.
don't understand, we never had all these conveniences. We didn't have electric back then. We didn't have refrigerators and all these modern conveniences. We, you know, they lived off the land, period. You know, and they had to have those skills to survive. So we try to teach these kids the real history.
You know, I think it's sad that, you know, I always thought seniors were a wasted resource. I always thought that there should be some kind of program in a school for young seniors and young people to get together, because I'll be honest, how many people do you know under the age of 40 know how to can?
Right. Well,
if they're not,
even
young or tremendous,
you don't have to. That's the thing. You don't have to, because there's so many conveniences. And that's, I've told people many, many times, if it does hit the fan, there's going to be a lot of people just, you know, twirling around trying to figure out what to do and freaking out, because they're not going to know.
I think now, too, that they figured out freeze-drying food, it lasts a long time, too. So I think more people are turning to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the best food to have if you're out and about in an emergency and stuff is pemmican.
Oh, I wanna make that. I found a recipe for pemmican and for spam.
Okay. And journey cakes, Johnny cakes, journey cakes, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I've never made them though, but I have recipes.
See, I've made those because that's what's true to history. And that's what the Courier du Bois, our woodsman that did the fur trade up in the north, that's what they used to make to carry along with them on the trail, is pemmican. And it's nothing but, like, berries, nuts, and a little bit of grease and all this other stuff, you know. And then journey cakes, you know, that's pretty simple too. That's got like two or three ingredients and that's it.
Yeah. No, I know. It's like the thing is that here's something else I can think. You know, we're so interested, concerned about this critical race theory. What about critical thinking? What about teaching people how to think critically? How to, you know, even if they don't know something, if they can think, they can figure it out.
Absolutely. But that ain't what the schools are for nowadays. It's all about propaganda. It's all about brainwashing these kids nowadays.
Well, yeah, unfortunately it is what it is. But So who's going to wind up surviving? All us old farts who can't have more children?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, there are some young children, you know, but any of them that have been vaccinated are going to be, you know, pretty much sterile. So,
well, that's true, yeah.
That's what I am saying. You know, if we want to save ourselves, we have to do it soon.
Well,
and that's the best survival.
That's like I went to that meeting the other night. It was basically an event for somebody running for a position in office on the conservative Republican side or whatever. And I'm not saying all Republicans are good either. Okay.
No, they're not.
But something that struck me, it was very profound. How do you fix this country? And they said you do it one county at a time. You do it with the people that are around you. You do it with the people that are like-minded with you. And you get together. You can't do it alone. But you do it one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Well, I know a lot of veterans are on ticket right now.
That's good.
But Republican. But I don't know that we have that. I don't know that we have the time to do it that way. Especially, I shared in Telegram, I don't know if you're in there, an article I just read about the military, and they're getting ready, you know, and what they're doing there. I don't know, and not to mention, You've got politicians talking about empty shelves, empty grocery shelves.
Oh yeah. Oh, believe me, I keep very updated on a lot of stuff going on.
Yep.
Yeah,
but none of the politicians will admit it.
Right.
The majority of them.
That's to keep the fear factor up.
But for survival things, here's like I said, if they would have started this grassroots stuff back in 2014 or whatever it was, and Trump 16 won, we might have a shot. Even with him losing.
Say that again. I'm sorry, I missed some of it.
I said, I don't know that we have time for what you're saying. The grassroots thing, the taking one county at a time. Because
well, I know.
Elections only happen but so many times a year.
Right.
I know one thing. If you're vaccinated, you've got none of it. Nobody's going to be around me.
Well, here's the thing. We all got time. What do we got to do with it, you know? We can prepare like the worst, but we can hope for the best.
Oh,
our
yeah,
thing is we need to teach these younger kids the best of the best of what America is and was. You know,
a lot of these young people, their parents are already completely brainwashed. And
yeah, but the thing is, it isn't about letting us, because I'll be honest with you. I'm in a school. I'm a custodian, and I will tell kids if they ask me, and even when they don't ask me, I've told kids, you know, about Jesus. I've told kids, about some of the good things in history, stuff like that. I don't care. And if however the cards fall, they fall. I will take responsibility for what I tell them.
Right. No. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying we need to be, make sure, like Chris said, we need to prepare for worst case scenario.
Sure. Absolutely.
Here's the thing. I know that we're going to win. I mean, because this isn't about left, right, Democrat, Republican. It's been good versus evil. And I know that good is going to win. God's got this. He's got this. He's already won. We know this. But it's how many can we save? I mean, it's like when Lot went into Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like, trying to find who we're going to take out with us. Who can we save? That's the thing. How many people can we wake up is the term that everybody's using these. And that's our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is not fixing our current government, because it can't be fixed. It has to be changed. Not the same thing. You know what I mean? We have to get rid. In other words, we're not going to fix it through election. Because
right.
A lot of people just elect the same people that are already in there. You need
well,
to get...
Not necessarily, because, like I said, there are good people out there running. We just got to back them up and quit voting for the same people. Now, I know and understand that this voting stuff has been, infiltrated, I guess is the best word. To where our votes won't even count, but we still got to keep trying.
And again, I'm not saying don't. Saying that even though I don't think sticking my finger in the dike is going to really stop it from breaking, I'm still going to stick my finger in the dike or do something to try and buy some time so everybody else can escape.
I'm gonna cut logs down and make a beaver dam if that dike starts leaking.
Yeah, but you get my analogy.
No, I do. I understand.
My, my point is that, you know, 90% of the people in office right now have got to go.
Sure.
Federal level, state level.
I totally agree.
But here's the kicker. Here's the catch that a lot of people don't realize. It's not just them that have got to go. It's the bureaucrats even more so than the elected officials. Because
yeah,
the bureaucrats are the ones that really have the power.
Okay, but do you see what's going on in some of this, what's going on with some of these politicians now? Some of them are getting busted for fraud. Some of them, like Low Joe, he's losing his mind mentally. And that is God working right now.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Slow Joe. Look at Nancy Pelosi. And you don't even see Kamala Harris.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
Like I said, I think that the change that we're going to see is not what everybody expects.
No. We still got to follow Scripture, and God tells us very well what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, but the thing is, he still expects us to live and do the right things.
Right.
And as what was the captain up in the Great Lakes when he beat the British? Never give up the ship.
Right. Now, I like I said, you know, I am not, I went out and voted, even though on November 2nd, even though it was a minor election, it was only municipal people that I was voting for, I went and voted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it used to be I only voted the major elections, like 20 and 22, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do the other little itty bitty thing, you know.
Right.
I'm just as we are all guilty of where we are, and until people are willing to admit that and accept responsibility, we need to accept responsibility because we are all, every last single one of us, responsible for where we are now, and
absolutely,
we cannot change until we do that. So I admitted I screwed up, you know, in my votes and everything, and now I'm changing it. And I
mm-hmm.
am more aware of, you know, what I'm doing. And, but, you know, we need to, you know, as the survival thing, getting back to survival stuff, my family's vaccinated, and my sister, can she take care of herself if shit hits the fan? Yes. Most definitely, even though she may not be prepared. She was raised by the same mother I was, in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but first, what's going to happen? And she finally found God. She's finally starting to pray. God has his magic. My sister last week, I don't know, something happened, and she is now praying every day, every night. Her and her husband are starting to do devotionals, and they're talking about things in the Bible and
really?
Studying and everything.
Great
supposed to be. Yes, I mean, God is finally opened her heart. I mean, she's finally opened her heart to God. There we go. That's a better
Amen.
A better. Yeah.
Made her a heart of flesh instead of stone.
Right. And I mean, she's a very good person. That's why, you know, this makes me so happy because, you know, she's always had a good heart. She's always, you know, she's a good person, but she definitely was agnostic. She was spiritual, but she didn't really believe in God. She didn't really want to talk about it, no church or whatever. Didn't pray.
Right.
But she, you know, she was always willing to admit the power of prayer because I was constantly praying for her and not praying for this, that, and the other thing. I mean, you know. And but the thing is that, so, but she's still, you know, social she's still the social justice chick, you know.
Right. More
still,
liberal.
Oh, yeah. Not quite
well,
as liberal
you,
as my mom, but definitely
well,
liberal.
You guys know my family, so.
I know Chris.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. but see, here's the thing. I've always been a loner, and I'm not trying to be cold to anybody, but I don't worry about anybody else except if they need my help, I'll give it. If they need something taught, I'll do it. And you can't change anybody else. You can only pray for them and let God change them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once he accepts that, life becomes easier. I've had a lot of personal experience and proof of God's existence and his working for us and doing things for us. I have never doubted God's existence ever. And I, you know, and there are many stories that I witnessed, you know, where is, in my opinion, absolute proof of God. And because there's no other thing, you know, oh, it's not a coincidence. No, there's no coincidence. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You know, there's nothing there. Yep. I pray. And I don't even ask for any specific thing. I just talk to God. I tell him what's going on, this, that, and the other thing. And then the next thing, and I mean almost immediately, the thing, something that I need that's going to help me appears. Whether
right on.
A person, a job, or whatever. Don't tell
He's
me that's
God of
not
provision.
God. Huh?
He's the God of provision.
Right. You know, his answer is not always going to be what we want or expect, but we need to recognize it when we see it. You know,
absolutely.
There's a song that says, sometimes his answers come in tears or rain. You know, it's not always laughter and sunshine.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that's the problem. You know, people, you know, they've turned away from God because they were led to believe that God means that you get whatever you want, and that that he gives you, you know, that if somebody's dying and you pray to God to make them better, that he's, no, that's not what it is. When somebody tells me a family member's dying or they're dying or whatever, I don't pray for them to get better. I mean, I pray for them to have the strength, for God to give them the strength to deal with whatever's going to happen.
Right.
Because
that's what I do.
Right. So, and if you have enough people praying for somebody, there are lots of secular doctors that have said point blank that they have seen evidence of the power of prayer healing people.
Sure.
Because, because what it is if you truly believe that people are praying over your mind, your body, with God's help, is capable of some awesome shit.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think my sister, she's starting to see that. That's why when people talk about the vaccine, you know, and it's going to kill people and it's going to do this, that, and the other thing. And some people are talking about med beds, but med beds aren't going to help because it fucks with your DNA. But see, here's the thing. What people seem to have forgotten, including all of us good Christians, God created us. Do we not think that he is incapable of fixing us?
No, he can recreate us.
Right. Well, yeah, that's okay, recreate. Right. But you know, I didn't say it well. I'm not very well versed in the Bible and
you
all that
said
stuff.
It perfectly.
You know. But you understood what I meant.
Sure.
So we're so worried that this vaccine is creating transhumanism. That's the word, transhumanism. And God can fix the earth, and people who have been made gotten this vaccine and been, and it's changed their DNA or whatever, if they're truly repentant and believers of God, God will, you know, they'll have new bodies. They'll be back again. They'll be who, you know what I mean? I mean, they'll remake them or however, whatever the terminology is, and I'm not very good with it. But my point is that everybody's like, oh, well, everybody that's been vaccinated is gone. No, I have a friend who knows what the vaccine could do, and she took it anyway. After praying for days, her and her daughter prayed for days before taking this vaccine. The both of them did.
Mm-hmm.
She took it because her daughter, and she was like, if she didn't take it, her and her daughter would have been separated because of the, you know, for various reasons. And she didn't want that. And so her thing was that, you know, through God's grace, they will either live together or die together type of thing. I don't understand that reasoning or whatever. It doesn't matter. But the point is that she trusts in God that much that God will look out for her. Either she got the placebo or she won't have the effect.
Let me stop you there, though, because some of that I disagree with. Here's the thing. In Scripture, it also says, I did not come to I'm paraphrasing, bring the world together. I come here to divide, that there will be mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, et cetera, et cetera. And here's the other thing. I do believe this is a precursor to the mark of the beast. And just because you got feelings does not mean it's going to be right. Okay, so we got to be careful. We got to be careful. I've always told people, and what I've heard, there's three voices you got to discern from. You got your voice, you got the devil's voice, and you got God's voice. Okay, if it creates chaos, if it creates something that the devil can use to separate you from God, that is his voice. Okay?
Huh.
So the thing is, and you can look it up in Scripture, it's not going to be always an easy choice. Because if you take, let's just go to Revelation. If you take the mark of the beast, you're going to hell. It doesn't matter how good you are or what. If you're scared and don't trust in God, you're going to hell. You know, God's a loving God, but God is also a just God and a righteous God.
Right.
He does get angry.
Right. See, and that's what I thought. Like I said, she, you know, I don't argue with her. Because, I mean,
right.
I didn't even know she was going to do it. You know, here's the thing. Unfortunately, my family and the friends, I mean, without saying anything, they just did it. They don't care about my opinion. They didn't even have the courtesy to tell me they were doing it.
Right.
And, you know, so it's not a question
choice.
I can tell. Huh? Yeah, it's their
and
choice.
And that's their choice. You can't do nothing about that.
No, I know, but I also try and avoid them a lot because I'm worried about the testing of God. But my point is that there wasn't even a time for talk and discussion to try and, you know, talk, at least her, you know, talk her out of it. Because I was utterly shocked when I found out that she had taken it. Because she was more...
She probably knew what you was going to say.
...than everything than I was.
Well, and she probably knew what you was going to say anyway, you know. So your opinion didn't really matter in that situation for her.
Right.
So, you know, you can't, the thing is, like everybody else, we just got to keep moving on and pray that they don't get sick from it or anything like that. You know, again, we're going to all have to make that choice. And it ain't going to be we're, you know, it doesn't matter if we're good people. We can be the best, goodest people in the world. It still ain't going to get us to heaven.
Oh,
and
no.
There's only one way. But, you know, and God says in Scripture, he says, you're either for me or you're against me. One of the two.
Yeah.
And the problem is a lot of people don't read Scripture, and they're not educated on what God's going to tell them, what God's telling us in the Bible. He's that Bible is to prepare us for heaven or hell, one way or another. It's our choice.
And that's why, like I said, I don't understand. She knows Bible. I mean, she can quote Scripture and verse. I mean, and
right.
Chapter, verse. You know, she can quote the Scriptures like crazy without opening her Bible. And,
uh-huh.
So I can't. I can't either. I cannot. But I know it's in my heart, and I'll look stuff up. Or, you know, I'll flip through the pages and just open something because I'm feeling a certain way. And,
mm-hmm.
I have the 12 powers. What is it called? I have it taped above my bed. It's the powers book. I can do whatever I need in life with Christ. God loves me unconditionally. I will not live in fear. I am difficult to offend and quick to forgive. I love people. I enjoy helping them. I trust God completely. There is no need to worry. I am content and emotionally stable. That's debatable. God meets all my needs abundantly. I pursue peace with God, myself, and others. I live in the present and enjoy each moment. See, that's the thing. The past is gone. We can't do anything about the past.
Right.
The future is yet to happen. And what the future, what happens in the future is based on what we do today in the present. So,
right, but you shouldn't worry about the future, because it also says in Scripture, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has its own worries.
Right. So, and then I am disciplined and self-controlled. Now, that one I have highlighted, because that one really needs work.
I understand that, too.
And then 12, I put God first in my life, and I do. There have been a lot of times where I have done something because I felt this is what God wanted me to do. And
uh-huh.
It put me in a lousy position, but the people that I helped, you know what I mean? So God put
mm-hmm.
me in a certain place, not for myself, but for these people.
Uh-huh.
That type of thing. And I truly
right.
believe, I truly believe, you know, that God speaks to us. And, you know, not literally as in voice, but, you know, like, you know, sometimes I'll feel God wants me to do something, or I feel I should do something and I ignore it. But then
right.
it comes at me again about doing this thing.
Right.
You know, and then I have to reevaluate what this means. And that's when sometimes I'll go to the Bible or whatever and I pray on it. And
I
realize.
Was gonna say again, that's where discernment comes in.
Right. And I wind up helping people, you know, it might put me in a bad situation for
right.
a short period of time, you know. It is what it is, but, you know, and I think part of the survival, you know, back to my point, is part of surviving is not just preparing as in having enough food or water or bandages or, you know, whatever. It's also being spiritually prepared.
Absolutely.
Because this is a war of good against evil.
Absolutely.
So we need to make sure that we have that supplies as well. Our, you know, our armor and, you know, sword and, you know, and all that. I forget what they're called, but, you know, truth. I, you know, always speak truth.
Right. Well, that's basically how I'm hoping to help anybody else out there on here is because you guys have made me a chaplain, and you know, I want to help everybody come to the Lord. You know, but there's a lot of things in this world that has deceived us that even Christians are being deceived over. Okay.
Right.
You know, even some of the simplest things, you know, when we become Christ-like, when we are supposed to be reborn, okay?
Right.
That means put away the things of the old.
Right.
You know, and I'm not judging anybody here, but there's a lot of cussing that goes on. Why do we have to cuss every time we have a conversation? You know?
You're right.
God doesn't like that.
Right.
You know?
Now, and that's I have made a sincere effort against using, you know, the blasphemy curses. I've definitely gotten away from those.
Well, I've learned also even God darn it, that's using the Lord's name in vain.
Because it's still the same thing. Because it's the same thing. You're just placing damn with darn. That's
right.
The thing. I don't even use OMG anymore. You know, I don't OMG or, you know, or good grief or something like that. You know, I'm trying to get completely away from that, you know, those particular expletives. But you're right. Even, you know, like the F, you know, fuck, shit, dick, you know, all of them, we really should not be using.
Absolutely. And not only that, how are we leading these kids if we're not doing it ourselves? You know, these kids, each generation has learned from the past generation, and it's gotten worse since the 60s. That's like I posted something, you know, I am a follower of Jesus or something like that. My only problem is I won't slap everybody. And there was a comment made by somebody, one of my friends, and it was a post I made. I learned that in Wales back in somewhere in the early 1900s, there was a great revival. There was no murder, no rape, no thieving. Everything basically went good because everybody came to Christ and they didn't do that stuff anymore, and the police had to be laid off because they didn't have nothing to do. And
wow.
I said, wouldn't that be great if we had a great revival like that? And somebody goes, yeah, we already did in the 1960s in New York. And I said, no, sorry, brother, that was the wrong revival. Because... Yeah, it was about love and peace and all that other stuff at Woodstock, but the thing was, it was still sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right.
Okay? God did not like that.
Yeah, no, that had nothing to do with God.
No, and I'm a generation of that, okay? I loved sex, drugs, and rock and roll when I was a kid, but when I committed myself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I changed those things. I want to change those things. And even if weed is illegal or not legal, is legal now, I still don't want to do that kind of stuff because it can lead to other stuff and it's not setting a good example for others. Just like drinking. Man, I used to drink Jack Daniels like it was out of style. I can't even smell stuff now, but the thing is, I could go and have me a beer, I could go and have me some wine and stuff, but I choose not to because I don't want to lead a bad example to somebody else. And I'll tell you a story real fast if we got time. There was somebody who was in the Hell's Angels or a supporter of Hell's Angels that got killed around here. So me and my other brother, we went to the wake that they were having at a bar. And so I said, hey, let's shoot some pool and, you know, just be there for them. And I'm in the Christian Motorcycles Association. And so I had my patch and my colors on. So I was sitting at the bar, and all night long, you know, besides playing pool with my brother, I would sit there while he was playing with others pool. I would sit there and drink his soda. And a mailman came up to me, and he was drunk. He came up to me and goes, man, he says, I got all the respect for you. And I go, well, thank you. And I said, why are you saying that? He says, I've been watching you all night. I go, yeah. I said, that's kind of weird, but yeah. And he goes, yeah, I've been watching you all night. And I said, he goes, how do you not sit here in a bar and not drink? And I began to tell him why. And he says, man, and he says, I got a lot of respect for that. And I said, would you mind if I give you this Bible? Because we give out traveling Bibles for bikers.
Right.
And he said, no. He says, I don't mind at all. He said, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to make you a promise. I am going to read this. I said, that's great, because I said, that's going to help you. And I would really love to hear you say that. And that's all it was. I didn't shove it down his throat. He
nope.
came up to me, you know, but we,
and that's what it
there,
is. That's what it takes.
Yeah. But there are times we have to be bold to tell people what is wrong. Not out of hate, not out of judgment, but out of love.
Right.
Because I love you enough, even though you're a stranger, I love you enough to tell you that's wrong. I don't want to see you go to hell. You see what I'm saying?
Right. See, and that is like I was saying, that's all part of the survival prep, to be quite honest.
Absolutely.
That's,
well, it builds your mental ability, your spiritual self is connected to your mental self. They're intertwined.
Right.
And the more you get closer to God, the stronger you're going to become.
Exactly.
So, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it is part of survival. Anyway, I talk too much.
No, you don't understand. Usually it's me and Bobby, and I don't know if you've noticed, but Bobby, our general, he don't talk a lot. So usually,
yeah, I know this.
Timmy, usually it's Timmy, me, and sometimes Lorna that are doing the talking.
I've noticed, believe me.
You guys are funny.
Hey, as long as it's in a good way, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. Always in the good way.
But I tell you what, I'm looking forward to next Sunday.
I am too.
I've been part of this group now, God, how many years, Bobby? You guys haven't sworn much more than a year before I joined.
Yeah, we had it going for almost 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, and I think you were still fairly new. Yeah, because I was. Let me see, where was I when I first joined? The 2018, I think. But yeah, so I love this group. You guys, I mean, this group, Robert, they're awesome. They really.
Oh yeah,
are.
I've met Bobby already.
Yeah. Even
my,
brother,
yep.
I got a question. Did all you guys serve together?
No.
No?
No, I always tease that I'm the youngest, but no. Your brother and John served. Your brother and John served together.
Okay.
So we all met. Most of us met together in another group.
Okay.
And then we left that group because they were a bunch of hypocrites and didn't want to do anything.
Okay.
So we branched out on our own and formed our own group.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of wondering if you all served together or what. You know. But, I'm sorry?
Sometimes they sound like they're related.
Well, as you guys already know, I am related to one of them.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how much you want to admit that.
Well, it's like I told you guys the other night that before, yeah, I'd be sorry too, but I'm very proud of Chris. He has come a long way. He's changed his ways. I mean, totally like 180. And that's all I prayed for him. And God definitely answered my prayer, and that actually is one miracle I've seen God do in his life. And he's definitely come a long way.
That's good to hear.
Yes, yes. It was good to see. Because I tell you what, he created a lot of animosity between me and my mom and dad, and just caused a lot of ruckus in my life, and I was literally wanting to kill him. So,
hey, look, I'm the oldest of four, and sometimes I want to kill the three younger ones. Yeah, I'm standing young on that.
Well, I'm number two, and now that my older brother has passed away, I'm number one. So I told him at his funeral, I said, now you guys got to listen to me. I think you can imagine what they told me, though.
Right.
But I tell you what, man, me, ever since, I would say it started with Mom, but it got even better with Dad when he passed away. Unfortunately, that's what had to happen for Chris to change. But me and Chris is more closer than ever before in our entire lives.
And that's good.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. And I've got a peace with him now, and that's beyond understanding. Now I just gotta pray hard for my youngest brother. Because he's on a real bad road right now, so.
Well, I will keep you and your family in my prayers.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, you never have too many prayers.
No, not at all. I tell you what, my grandma and my mom sure prayed me out of a lot of dangerous situations. I'm surprised I'm still here. But God had a plan, so.
Yeah, see, that's my thinking. You know, God has a plan. You know, I have no idea what the heck it is. You know, I just know that the things that I go through, the bad ones, especially, are for a reason.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like something bad happened to me. You know, I've lost about 50% of my income, so I had to get another job. And one opened up in a really interesting, place or whatever.
And it's put me in a different position. So with a different type of person than what I'm usually. I mean, I've known the person for years. That's beside the point. The point is that this opportunity would not have come up if I had not been put in this other situation.
Right.
And I truly believe that God does things for, you know, that things happen for a reason. I don't believe in coincidence.
I don't either.
So I'm just going to see where things go. I just will keep fighting. Luckily, I still don't need to worry about being vaccinated, you know, my medical situation has changed completely. And part of that is because of COVID. You know, I was really concerned about going to the doctor again because she keeps trying to push the vaccine on me. And then she tried to tell me I had cancer, and which, you know, I might have cancer. And she, you know, she keeps pushing these things on me, and it's like I felt obligated to go because of being on Medicare. The only way you get the medical insurance and whatnot is if you do what they tell you. And, well, now I no longer have to because I lost the disability. Right, because I lost my disability, I'm no longer disabled, according to the government. I no longer have Medicare. I no longer have to meet those rules.
Right. Well, I think that's the way government's going to control a lot of people.
They can try. But see, in my case, that's not what happened. Instead, what it did was it freed me. They're doing this instead of trapping me into doing what they want.
Right.
It frees me to do whatever the heck it is that God wants me to do in the future.
Okay, we have 3 minutes left.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I'm sorry. It was great.
No, go ahead.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I appreciate y'all participating in it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And I'd like to say God bless you all.
God bless you too, Bobby.
Yep, you too, Bobby.
God bless America. God bless our children, veterans, military, first responders, and God bless the Defender 7.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.